Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And starting in verse 3, the Word of God says, "Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee." The savor of the good ointments is the result of the anointing in our lives. The ointment poured forth is us living in the anointing. The virgins is speaking of those who are the spiritual Israel, both in the days of Israel, who were those who lived with Christ, loved the Word of God, and today the spiritual Israel, the church. Those are the virgins. Now, the savor of thy good ointments. Today I would like to take just a few minutes and talk about what this means. Living in the manifestation of an anointing. Because that's what it's talking about. The manifestation of the anointing. The Word of God says in Exodus 29:21, "And thou shalt take the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garment with him." The anointing was poured first on the head, and then it flowed on the garments, and then it flowed on the rest of the body. And it was given by God. What is the anointing? The anointing is the divine unction in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is different than simply the Holy Spirit being present as He is in every believer that is alive. Every believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Not every believer lives in an anointing. It is imperative that if I'm going to really live with God, that I live in the anointing. When it says, "By thy good ointments thy name is as an ointment poured forth," what is it talking about? It's talking about who the person is, the intrinsic character that they have. It's the anointing that develops my character. It's the unction, the manifestation, and the effect of the Holy Spirit's presence that develops who I am in Christ. That anointing is what gives life. This is why you can have two people who say exactly the same things perhaps, but one of them it's life-giving and one of them it's not. The reason is that with one of them there's an anointing and the other there is not. And though they may say something perhaps that is true, yet one of them uses truth in the letter, in an example, and one of them uses truth in the spirit. And yet they are both truth. But one will kill and the other will bring life. The anointing is what gives life. And I'm not talking about biological life. I'm talking about spiritual life, Zoe life. That's produced in me through the anointing. And so when there's anointing present, the life of God is flowing. The presence of the Holy Spirit can be sensed. And we get something that is life imparting, whether it's from a message or from our own anointing operating in our own lives. Because the anointing develops the character of God in me. And so, that anointing is all important in my life. The anointing then comes for the energization of my call. Now, I can identify my call through the Holy Spirit revealing it to me, but I still may not necessarily be energized for that call. The energization of the call comes when the life of God is flowing in me. That requires two things. That requires the Word of God first, and then the production of the Word of God second, which is the cross in my life. Because only when there is a cross in my life will the life of God be flowing in me freely. Well, will be flowing in me at all. Now, the life of God may be present in me as a believer, And every believer does have the presence of God within them. But the manifestation and the flow of that life may not be present in every believer, only in some, the ones who live in the anointing. The anointing, therefore, requires the Word and the cross. If I'm to have God's character, I'm going to do it through the Word and the cross. If I'm to have God's life flow, it's going to be through the Word and the cross. That's the anointing's manifestation and the result of its presence. And so, what Song of Solomon is saying here is that the savor, the aroma of your good anointments, of your anointing, by that aroma, because of it, your character is as the anointing poured forth. In other words, the character that develops in a person is the manifestation of the anointing. Have you ever met somebody like that? I have. You go in their presence and you can't even put your finger on it. They don't necessarily even have to say a word. You know that you were just in the presence of God. And it wasn't because of that person per se. They're just another person. It's the fact that their life is God's life because there's a word and a cross in their life, and now the life of God is flowing out of them in the presence and manifestation of the anointing. And that person simply needs to be present, and God is revealing Himself just because they are there. There's also people who try to fake an anointing. I've seen that before. And that can be attempted in different ways. I remember one young guy, he got up in the pulpit and he started preaching, but he didn't have an anointing. And I think he was aware that he didn't have an anointing. So instead of simply preaching the truth, asking God in humility to help him, what he did, he tried to preach in an appeal to people's emotions. People who pretend will not live in anointing, because it will still be self-life trying to mimic God's life. Here's the thing, there is no need for the mimicking or the pretending. The anointing will be present because God is present if there is a cross in my life. The cross is always produced by the presence of the Word. What can happen to people sometimes is they try to imitate these things, imitate an anointing, imitate spirituality, imitate a life with God, without actually possessing one, because they're self-conscious of their own shortcomings. Well, if they lived in no condemnation, they would not be self-conscious of their shortcomings. The cross would have the chance of being functional in their life, and they could actually have the real deal. But the real deal does require the cross, where self is not in any kind of a place of manifestation. And that's what gets us sometimes. But self has no place in the anointing. But the anointing really is all about the manifestation, the energization of the Holy Spirit's presence. Now, in Isaiah 10:27, the Word of God says, "And it will come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off his shoulder and his yoke from off his neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Here's the one thing about actually having an anointing. There's no burden in it. When I try to have a pretend life of God in me, that's a heavy weight on the shoulders. Firstly, I mean, sometimes you run into them, not terribly often, but sometimes you run into people who live like this. They're pretending with God, and I've known a few over the years. They're pretending with God, but it's always a very heavy burden on their shoulders, and they think to themselves, how am I going to sustain this in the privacy of their own thoughts? Well, the answer is, you can't. It's not sustainable. Because we cannot, first of all, forge the life of God, and second of all, the pretense of that life is a very heavy burden, and you can't hold it for long. The solution is, have the real anointing. Have the real life with God. It's available. Have the real anointing. Have the real energization of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, already lives in you. Now the only thing that's required is for you to get out of the way. That's the cross. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing is what breaks my burdens. The anointing is what breaks my bad self-image. The anointing is what breaks all these things. You know how you get from that place of being self-conscious and having a standard that's apart from a standard of grace to that standard of grace and having the reliance and the trust and the capacity to trust that grace through the anointing? That's how you get there. You get there through the anointing. You get there through the Holy Spirit's presence giving you that energization, the ability. How do you operate in the call? Through the anointing. The Holy Spirit's presence and His energization, Him giving you the ability. How is it that some, like Pastor Stevens, on occasion, like when he would do European conferences and different things, he would go night after night after night and not even get any sleep, or sometimes just like 1 or 2 hours. And he would be sharp and he would be fresh and he knew what he was doing. That's the anointing. And maybe a little coffee. But God knows that He made coffee for the sake of our ability to have an anointing. Just kidding. And for those of us who don't drink coffee, the tea that's made of the best stuff on earth really works well. Anyway, it's in the anointing. It's in the anointing. In Exodus 35, and verse 27, the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. The ephod was like a clothing, a type of clothing that covered the chest of the priests. It was for the ephod and for the breastplate. And spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. You ever wonder why certain people, pastors and different Christian servants, and not just necessarily pastors or high profile people, but people who really have a life with God, you ever wonder why it always seems like they're being pummeled? Like there's one trial, one testing right after another. Like there's one attack right after another. Why it seems unrelenting? Because you crush, you beat and crush the olive. And then when you've beaten and crushed the olive, you beat and crush it again. And that is what releases the oil. God allows these situations in our lives where we feel beaten and crushed for this purpose, that we be beaten and crushed. Our emotions don't always respond to that well, because our emotions are not yet fully submitted to God's mind in this area. And who likes crushing? We say to ourselves. And that's not an entirely illegitimate thing to say. But this is why God allows it. That because there's a momentary light affliction, there will be an eternal weight of glory. The anointing works the same way. I suffer an affliction and the anointing pours forth. The anointing is produced. Because in that affliction, I depend in my entirety on the Holy Spirit, because I have nothing else to depend on. And so I run to the Holy Spirit, I run to God, I feel weak as can be, and that's exactly what God's looking for. Because He is producing anointing oil, and He's making it out of us. When that happens, it also produces the fruit of the Spirit. So when I mix the fruit of the Spirit with the anointing, then the chest, the heart, is entirely covered and protected. And it's manifested in the heart of the person. It becomes a manifestation in their frame of reference, where they become profoundly sweet, where they become profoundly gentle, profoundly gracious, although they've been beaten to death, or so it seems. That's the anointing. God is interested in bringing out the anointing. Now, that's not to say that that's all I will ever experience. It's certainly not. But I will most definitely experience seasons like that in my life. And there's going to be a season of abasing, and then there will be a season of abounding. And then there will again be a season of abasing. And if I really gotten myself oriented to the season of abounding, I'm going to wonder, what's going on now? Where did I go wrong? And the answer is nowhere. This is simply how the plan of God functions. You get a season when you're abounding and a season where you're abased. And then you're a season abounding and a season abased. And you go like this through your life as a believer. This is how we grow. This is how we become conformed to the image of Christ. It's not that there's anything wrong with the person or they're doing anything wrong. It's just the way the plan works. It becomes a sweet incense. It becomes a sweet incense. It becomes an incense to God. And it becomes an incense to us. And it becomes an incense to other people. It becomes a sweet incense. When this anointing is present, I enter into the experience of 2 Corinthians 2:15 and 16, where the Word of God says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." This anointing that God has produced in me becomes the sweet fragrance of the Savior Himself. And He delights in that fragrance. He delights in that Savior. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and your wife or your mom, or if you're a young person, or somebody is making something and it's just like the fragrance, the aroma is amazing? Bacon is like that. And you go and say, "Oh, this is amazing. This smell is amazing. I love this smell." They should bottle that. They should like make a bacon perfume. They probably already have. Or bacon candles. They probably already have. The anointing is a fragrance to God, and is the fragrance of the Savior. But it's more than that. In them that are saved, it's a savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. So it's a savor to God, it's a savor to the believer, and it's a savor to the unbeliever. The anointing is that savor, that special quality that certain ones have, is their anointing. And it draws people. They don't even have to say a word. It simply draws people because of the anointing. And then it continues, "To the one we are a savor of death, to the other the savor of life unto life." Of death unto death and a life unto life. For some reason, believers like to reverse the order here. I have no idea why. But it says, we are a sweet savor of Christ to them that are saved first, and to them that perish second. And then it says, we are a savor of death unto death first, and then life unto life second. But people like to reverse the order. Because after all, the perishing, they're the ones who are dead, right? So hopefully that will change. And that's part of the purpose of the anointing. to bring people to the Savior. So to the believer, we are the fragrance of death, unto death. What am I talking about? We are the fragrance that leads them to the cross, that draws them to a cross, that causes them to desire a cross in their own life for the person who has the anointing. That anointed, the cross comes into my life and I embrace it because of the anointing. Not because I like dying to myself, but because I like the life that it leads to. And so the anointing is for the saved, a savor of death unto death. But for them that perish, they're already dead. They don't need the savor of death. They're dead in trespasses and sins. For them, it's a savor of life that leads them to life. It's that life of God that attracts them to come to the Savior themselves. And that is the anointing in their life. That's the product, the result of the anointing in their life. In Psalm 45 and verse 7, Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory places whereby they have been made glad, whereby they have made thee glad. And in Hebrews 1:9, Thou hast loved righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Righteousness is that which comes of faith. You've loved faith. You've loved responding in faith. You love the anticipation of faith. You love the expectation of faith. You love the conviction of faith. You love the substance of faith. And you hate wickedness. What is wickedness? Well, in the law of contrast, this verse shows us that wickedness is the opposite of faith. And so you love faith and you hated wickedness. Now, the Word of God says that all your garments smell of myrrh. And remember that Christ was the first fruits. And He was what we are becoming. And so this is not only referring to Christ, this is referring to us also. And Barnes said about this passage, the word smell is not in the original. When it says, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory places whereby they have made thee glad. The word smell is not in the original. The literal translation would be myrrh and aloe, cassia, all thy garments. That is, they were so impregnated with the perfumes that these seem to constitute the very clothing. The mention of the anointing in the previous verse may have suggested the idea that these perfumes, as the anointing, with a richly perfumed unguent, and an unguent is a salve for soothing or healing, basically an ointment, that this richly perfumed unguent seems to have spread over and have pervaded all his raiment. The anointing is so rich. When there is a life of simple faith responses, simple trust in God, simply believing that what He has said, His promises, His Word, His character. When I'm simply believing, the anointing is so rich that it seems like I am clothed in the anointing. It's my covering. It corresponds and it comes along with that coat of glory that Paul wrote about that comes with the momentary suffering. As I'm responding in faith, I'm clothed in the anointing. And so now it's not only just within me pouring out of me, but it covers all of me. It becomes my garment. Now, what is a garment? It's a lifestyle. Right? Joshua and Zechariah 4 had filthy garments. Joshua, the high priest, had filthy garments. He was talking about a lifestyle. The anointing becomes not only my covering, but my lifestyle. The presence and the energization of the Holy Spirit becomes what I'm clothed in, and it's the way that I live. In Isaiah 61:3, when I have this, then I have beauty for ashes. Then I have the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment, a life of praise for a spirit of heaviness. This is how it breaks the yoke. There is a yoke of mourning, and I get a spirit of praise. There are ashes, and I get beauty. There's mourning, and I get the anointing. This is the yoke that's being broken. The things that are not from God, the burdens that I carry, the difficulties that I struggle with, are all broken in the anointing. Pursue that anointing. Pursue the anointing. How do I pursue the anointing? Through the Word of God and the cross. Because that's how the life of God flows. Through the Word of God and the cross. In 1 John 2:27, the anointing which you have received of Him abides in us. And you need not that any man, and it's talking about any like natural, unsaved person, any professor who doesn't know the Savior, this kind of a deal, that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. What is this talking about? This is referring to John 16:13. That this presence and life of God in you, in this presence of God, the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. In this presence of God within you, the Holy Spirit will show you the things to come. In this presence of God within you, the Holy Spirit defines things for you. And He leads you, and He takes you by the hand in Isaiah 42, and He keeps you. It's found in the anointing. This is why Song of Solomon says that because of the Savior, the fragrance of your good ointments, your name, your character is like the life of God poured forth, and therefore do the virgins, those who belong to God, therefore do they love thee. Amen.